I'm John Krall. On Thursday, the Boy Scouts of America will have an historic vote in regard to allowing membership to openly gay youths. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about growing up gay. We're going to talk about what it means and how it feels. Joining me for the discussion will be three guests: Mary Byrne, Executive Director of Indiana Youth Group; Jordan Staples, an IYG member and Ivy Tech student; and Audrey Satterbloom, Indianapolis Public Schools Wellness Supervisor. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about growing up gay. The news hook is obviously the historic vote on Thursday by the Boy Scouts about allowing openly gay members to become Boy Scouts. My guests are Mary Byrne, who's the executive director of Indiana Youth Group. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having us.
It's certainly good to have you here. Jordan Staples, who is an IYG member and an Ivy Tech student. Jordan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And Audrey Satterbloom, who is an Indianapolis Public Schools Wellness Supervisor. Audrey, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. I'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You also can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. And I should say before we start this topic, we invited somebody from the Boy Scouts to come on the air with us, and they declined the invitation. We hope at some point they'll be here so that they can talk about this issue. Since that's kind of the elephant in the room, why don't we deal with that one first, and then we'll expand to the larger. Mary, could you talk a little bit about the significance of the Boy Scout vote, why this has received as much attention as it has?
Well, I think that it's received a lot of attention because they're really between a rock and a hard place. They're getting a lot of pressure on the side of people who want their own children to be involved who happen to be gay. And I know that they get some pressure from corporations and groups that would like to financially support them but won't as long as they have this discriminatory policy. So they're getting pressure from that side. And then a lot of their troops are formed by churches and schools. And so you're bringing kind of religion into the mix, and that's a difficult place for them to be.
Why does it matter as much who can be a Boy Scout, I guess? Why is this an important barrier for gay Americans to kick down? I'll throw that one back to you, Mary.
Well, I think that they've kind of made this a big deal because they themselves have always had a policy that they would not allow someone to be out and either a troop leader or a scout. And whereas I think a lot of other organizations have just been able to roll with it, and they've just kind of slowly but surely become inclusionary. So it's just been a history. I'm sure that at some point this was based on a fear of pedophiles, mm-hmm. even though that is not gay related. That's, you know, almost always straight men. So mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's a matter of education, but I think that both of the safety issues and the religion has played a part in coming to this head.
How important, Jordan Staples, you know, since you're probably closest in age range to the folks who would be affected by this decision. You know, I think I'm just slightly old for the Boy Scouts, and Audrey and Merrick wouldn't qualify on other grounds. To know that there's a group like that and it has a rule in place that, you know, wouldn't allow you to participate.
I think that it would be good to have this group open to the gay community because it just gives us another part of life that we can, you know, enjoy with other people and, I guess, just be involved.
To some degree, and I probably ought to clarify here, you are, you know, an openly gay young man, right?
Yes.
At what age did you come out, is it?
It was freshman year of high school.
Freshman year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I didn't openly come out to, you know, everybody in the school, but I came out, you know, to my mother and my father and among other family members and close friends. It was pretty terrifying at first, but it got better.
What made it terrifying?
Just the thought of how people would react and, you know, if they would, you know, still love me the same way and treat me the same way.
And did they, or were there people who rejected you after you came out?
There's only one friend that I can think about that, you know, kind of rejected me at first for about a month, but, you know, then came around to the idea. So.
Well, Jordan, what about your dad?
My dad, I didn't actually, you know, tell my dad at first. He kind of overheard it from, you know, my uncle who told him, and it was a pretty awkward conversation going home to the point where, you know, he made me cry.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back to that a little later. I can tell it's still a painful memory for you. Audrey, I'm assuming that in the context of working with students in schools, this is not an uncommon problem. I mean, do you try to help them structure difficult conversations like this, walk them through them?
Well, unfortunately, I think that a lot of it is a new topic, probably not as many as 10 years ago when I was a health teacher. It's something that, should we talk about it or should we not? And too many times it was swept under the rug. And so recently we have revised all of our family life curriculum. It had not been looked at since 1987. So
a lot's changed since then.
Just a few things.
Yeah.
So that's something that we definitely took a look at and that we have begun to talk to social workers more on a distinct basis so that we can help them know how to deal with that. I know that Marion, her program has been very helpful. And doing more education, it's about education of the staff and the students, so that that's what we've been trying to do for the approach. And so now we have it written in some of our curriculum and some of our health classes. We'll then beginning to start talking about it so that the youth that have identified or have questioning mm-hmm. can feel comfortable talking about it.
We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook and Twitter at WFYI. Well, Mary, Audrey gave me the perfect segue or setup there because we probably ought to talk a little bit about what IYG is, Indiana Youth Group is. Could you describe the organization a little bit, what its goal and mission?
Well, our mission is to provide safe spaces, and we do that through the Activity Center that's at 46 and Benford. We're open three nights a week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. We have lots of programs, lots of workshops, discussion groups, speakers, We have a whole program that's, one, trying to help the isolation that young people are going through, and then also help educate them as far as becoming healthy adults. The other big part of our program is to have, we have one full-time staff member who goes around to high schools and helps gay straight alliances start, either start or capacity building so they grow and that sort of thing. And he goes all across the state, actually, to do that.
Who do you try to serve? Who do you see as sort of your constituents or your clients? Just all young people or?
Yes, actually, about 20% of our young people don't identify as LGBTQ. So we've got.
And we probably ought to want there. Okay, there are likely to be a few people out there who will not get the acronym.
Well, and especially the Q part. Yeah. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and then the Q is questioning for us because so many young people are questioning, and you don't have to know when you come to IYG. You can just walk in the door. About 20% of our young people are not LGBTQ. So it's open to everybody. It's a very, very welcoming environment, and everybody is welcome.
And Jordan, you're an IYG member, right?
Yes.
What brought you to IYG?
Well, I didn't have a place where I could go to express myself. And, you know, just kind of be around other people that also identified in the LGBTQ or, you know, were a straight ally. So I first came to IYG, you know, I didn't know what to expect.
We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Or you can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Marvin, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon.
Certainly.
To your guest.
Thank you.
My question is I was curious to know about concerning organizations like the Boy Scouts and other organizations that they have out there that, you know, you have, people that's homosexuality trying to be a part of these programs. My question is on the Boy Scouts point of view, there have, you know, you have godly morals as opposed to, like, they may be standing on the premises of where they have, they're saying that, okay, this is between, you know, a man and not, you know, being, you know, have a preference for another man. And I guess what I'm saying is that godly morals, if you have a scout leader that is practicing homosexuality, you know, and him, you know, say for example, if he was interested in a young man that or a young boy there, I mean, has anybody ever thought about that having an impact on somebody's life, you know, to where he, the young boy, where he really didn't want to practice that because of the fact of what he was taught in his home as far as like Christian beliefs, but then you have the scout leader who has the influence and he's trying to teach that child something different. And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, with being the godly morals taking the issue, it sounds like to me that, you know, you wouldn't, you know, the person that has the godly morals in the home wouldn't want to be a part of the Boy Scouts because of the fact that they have changed their whole traditional beliefs to, you know, to actually satisfy, you know, another group's their lifestyle.
Okay, let me try to get an answer for you. Thank you very much for the call, Marvin.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, to synthesize, I think there's some worry that having a gay Boy Scout leader would somehow teach scouts or encourage them to become gay. The other part of that, as I heard it, was that you know, there are going to be some families who would not want to endorse that kind of behavior. How do you respond to that, Mary? It's got to be an argument you've heard before.
Sure. When you work in youth services, one major big issue that any volunteer or any employee has to deal with or be taught, I assume that some people have to be taught this, but are boundaries. And At IYG, we have boundaries as far as any sort of outside relationship between one of our volunteers or staff and the young people. So, and that's the case for a teacher. That's the case for anyone working with young people. Big brothers, big sisters, they don't have this problem. They do background checks for their volunteers, and that seems to work well.
We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. My guests are Mary Byrne, Jordan Staples, and Audrey Satterbloom. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about growing up gay, and right before we went to the break, we were talking about, we got a question from a listener named Marvin who asked kind of a two-part question. One is, you know, should we trust having gay Boy Scout leaders because they might encourage younger people to be gay? We probably ought to deal with that question of whether being gay is something you can be taught. You know, and in Jordan's case, did somebody teach you to be gay, or is it something that's inherent?
No one taught me how to be gay. I mean, it's not something that you can teach. You either are or you're not.
And how? At what point did you? You know, I think what I find interesting, for me, it's more a coming-of-age kind of question. You know, when you begin to discover just who you are as a person, when did that part of your person or your personality, when did you begin to sense, you know, this is who I am?
Well,
that I'm a gay man.
It started in freshman year of high school. I started realizing that I'm not attracted to the opposite sex. So I, you know, began to, you know, just kind of look around on the internet, you know, searching some things, and I was like, oh, well, this is kind of what that means, so am I gay or not? So as, you know, the year progressed or whatever, I began to, you know, notice that I did have feelings for the same sex.
We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits, and if you would like to join the conversation by sending an email, you can do so by sending one to nolimits@wfyi.org. We've gotten two emails, from a listener named David, who says simply, with IYG, how do I get involved? Sounds like he wants to help. Mary, I suspect you can help him with that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Feel free to give your URL and your contact.
We couldn't do what we do without volunteers. So we have, if people want to go on our website, www.indianayouthgroup.org, there's a place right in the middle that says volunteer. We have volunteers that work with the young people, but we also have dinner every time we're open, so volunteers bring in food every night. We have lots of committees. We have fundraisers. There's just a mammoth amount of work to be done, so please.
The other email question we've gotten is from a listener named Sam, who says the pedophile argument is dismissed by the homosexual movement with the response that pedophiles are predominantly heterosexual. Yet there is never evidence offered to support that theory. More importantly, a man would not be put in charge of a Girl Scout troop, going with them on camping trips, etc., because common sense says you don't put your daughter in a situation where she could be exploited and harmed. Why then should a gay man be put in charge of boys? Who wants to take that one? Mary.
It's modeling.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing about saying to the question that they're going to be voting on, the Boy Scouts are going to be voting on, is whether or not young people can be a scout. It still will mean that there will not be any scout leaders if they're out gay men. And what that tells young people is that Well, maybe it tells them it's okay to be gay when you're young, but not when you're an adult. Mm-hmm. Or adults aren't to be. It sends a very poor message. And gay men can be wonderful role models for young men, period, not just for gay young men. And again, I want to say boundaries are the bottom line for all of this. And I also want to pick up on something that Jordan said. He mentioned about being attracted. Mm-hmm. And attraction is not something that you learn. And so the whole idea of someone, whether or not they feel like they might be gay or not, that's something that is not a choice. It is something that you have within yourself. It's a part of yours, your being. And I like to associate it like being left-handed. My dad was left-handed at a time that it was not okay to be left-handed, and they taught him to write right-handed. He painted left-handed. He batted left-handed. He was left-handed, and he learned to write right-handed, but he never became right-handed. And I think that that's the thing with, you know, all this reparative therapy things, and that people, you know, it's a lifestyle or you choose to be gay. That's not what happens. It's a part of you, and it's inside. So
we are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Steve, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. What's on your mind?
First, I'd just like to preface that I'm a member of the military. I'm married. I have a daughter. I'm heterosexual, and I'm an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot from Boy Scouts, and was very, very proud to be affiliated with the organization as a whole, and the morals that it teaches and proffers. And one of the points of the Scout laws, and for those that would offer that that homosexuality is an abomination. My personal views on homosexuality aren't really important to this, but it says that Scout's reverent towards God. He respects the beliefs of others, even if they may be different from his own. If we're worried about whether a Christian religion allows for homosexuality or not, I don't think that's as much of an issue. So what seems to be asked or offered is that we don't want sexual predation among our children. But do we honestly believe that a homosexual male is more likely to prey on a young boy than a heterosexual male is more likely to prey on a young girl? And I don't think that's a valid argument. If we're worried about our children, then absolutely do background checks. Let's make sure that the men and the women who are leading our children and are in charge of our children should not have criminal records or historical records that show that they have issues with sexual predation among children or among our young people. But beyond that, we're talking about the character of individuals, and that character can only be judged by the peers and the people that they're going to be working with on a daily basis, not simply by the sexual inclinations that they may or may not have. And I'd be welcome to any comments from the panel.
Thank you very much for the call, Steve. Well, in some ways, what Steve seems to be saying there is really, we should focus more on the values of inclusiveness and the other things that the Boy Scouts can teach, and that the sexual orientation really shouldn't be a part of the discussion at all. How do you respond to that, Audrey?
Well, I think everything in general, whether we're just specifically talking about the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, any Boys and Girls Club or so on, is that we have to teach tolerance to individuals, and that there are people who are different than you, and it's okay, and that because they are a certain way, and whatever that might be, that we just need to be tolerant, and we need to understand that. And I like the idea that he's saying, you know, let's just take everyone for what they're worth, and we understand that that there is a possibility always going to be for some adult to take advantage of a child. However, you want to minimize that and look into the people's background and take it for what they were, whether they are homosexual or not.
We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I just want to congratulate this organization for the things that they do for Indiana.
Indiana Youth Group? Indiana Youth Group?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I grew up in Indianapolis, and things have changed a lot in the past 30 years. I grew up when Anita Bryant was on her witch hunts. So, you know, I just want to, I contribute to IYG. I support IYG. And I would like to know how they feel about the latest on the license plate issue. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Good. Thank you very much for the call, Joseph.
Thank you.
Well, I think that harumph came from Mary. How do you feel about the latest on the license plate issue? And we probably ought to explain what the license plate issue is here.
Yes. Okay. In the continuing saga, it's just so ridiculous. Last year, the state legislature tried to legislate IYG not to have a plate. And since that didn't happen, they found on our website that you could get low-numbered plates as thank you gifts for donations. Now, we have given low-numbered plates as thank yous for long-term employees, for long-term volunteers, and we use them as thank you gifts, or did use them as thank you gifts for donations. And quite like WFYI does have mm-hmm. little, cups or different things for different levels. Well, 20 state senators wrote a letter, signed it to the BMV, saying that we should have our license plate taken away because we were selling the low-numbered plates. And within a week, we received a letter from the BMV that immediately, without a hearing, without anything, took that license plate away. There was just no recourse that we could do at that time. We started an administrative hearing process. We were supposed to have a hearing the 1st of December of last year, at which time the BMV approached our lawyer, Ken Falk of the ACLU.
And I probably ought to do a disclosure. I used to work with Ken when I was the executive director of what was then the Indiana Civil Liberties Union.
Very good.
So
so they approached Ken with a settlement, basically, and that's kind of how our first lawsuit happened when we were trying to get it. So the BMV negotiates with us that we would get our plate back in 15 months since the suspension, which would have been June 15th. And we have been going through this whole 5-6 months under the impression that we were going to get it back in the middle of June. We received a contract 3 weeks ago to look through. And then for some reason, out of the blue, we get a call and an email from the BMV, the same lawyer who has been negotiating with us this whole time, saying that the BMV, they didn't call it reneging, but we did, saying that the BMV could not continue the negotiation because of the legislation that was just passed in this last session. And there's nothing in that legislation that would prohibit the BMV in giving us our plate back.
In your mind, are you being targeted because it is a group that serves
sure.
gay young people?
Yeah. I mean, last year during all of the hoodoo, it was one of the state senators said that they would just be so embarrassed if someone with an IYG plate drove into another state and somebody would see that Indiana allowed a gay license plate. Which is ridiculous. I mean, first of all, I mean, you look at our license plate and it doesn't scream gay. It mm-hmm. just has Indiana Youth Group, and it does have a rainbow logo. But
and it's a way, there are funds that come with
oh
this.
Oh, my gosh,
too,
yes.
That, you know, I forget, is it the number $25?
Yes,
it's tacked onto your license plate fee, and it's a way for you to direct some of that money back to an organization that you care about.
The fee is actually $40.
$40.
We get $25, and the state gets $15. So the state makes money.
Off of this, too.
Off of it. And it is a, it was put into our budget because we clearly were going to get our plate back at the middle of June. And, you know, within one day, just wham, there went $25,000 out of our budget.
So that means there were 1,000 of those plates out there.
Last year, within 10 weeks of having the plate, we sold over 800 license plates. Mm-hmm. And so we just assumed that in the 6 months of remaining of this year, we would be able to sell at least 1,000.
We are talking about growing up gay and in Indiana. You can join the conversation by sending us an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. We've gotten an email from regular listener Jerry, who says, I was interested to hear Marvin's concerns about the dangers of LGBTs. He's reversed kind of the nomenclature. They're attempting to recruit or convert impressionable young Christians. I can only say that in my 40-odd years as a homeowner, never once has an LGBT person knocked on my door clutching a book or tract, which they claim possesses the universally true secret of human happiness. However, this has happened to me many times with various Christian sects. Is my experience unusual? Jerry, if I may take the liberty, to some degree, do you feel like, you know, if you're talking about tolerance for gay people, and particularly gay young people, that you're held to a different standard than other groups are? Mary, I'll start with you, and then I want to hear Jordan's thoughts on this, too.
Well, I don't know that we're held to a different standard, but we definitely, well, kind of like you have to imagine all the horrible things that could happen, and then you have to kind of work around those things. But,
well, to some degree, though, I think what Jerry's point there is really, other people have no problem with advocating what is a choice
or
a lifestyle.
Sure, sure.
You know, and yet somehow it's supposed to be wrong for you.
Right. Well, we don't have to advocate. I mean, you, like I said before, you can't make somebody gay. You can't. There's not this little fairy wand that people sprinkle over other people and that makes them gay. That just does not happen. You can't recruit them. And that sort of thing. So it just is not the same.
We've also gotten some tweets from a listener. I'm not even going to try the name here because I'm sure I would massacre it. But says, glad you're taking on this topic, No Limits. There's a real culture of intolerance in Indiana. Did you find that, Jordan, when you were in school?
Yes, I did find that there was low tolerance or zero tolerance for being in the LGBTQ community. So,
and you, when you came out, was it? Did you find open hostility among people you didn't know?
There were a few people.
And I guess I probably should take a step back on that question because, you know, people think that, you know, when you come out that there is a, you know, a grand parade and, you know, 96-point type in the newspapers and all of that. It's often a much more gradual thing where you talk to a few
people. Well, it's also daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to continue to come out. It's not something that you then etch on your forehead.
And
you do one time. It's a continual thing. When you build relationships with other people, you almost always have to come out.
And I guess where I'm going with this, because and we've got just a few seconds, Jordan, but when this was it something people talked about in your school, in your high school?
Not a lot. It was very little to zero.
We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. We are talking with IYG Executive Director Mary Byrne, Jordan Staples, an IYG member, and Audrey Satterbloom, an IPS Wellness Supervisor. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about growing up great. Growing up gray, that means that we prematurely age. Growing up gay on No Limits today. My guests are Mary Byrne, who is the executive director of the Indiana Youth Group, Jordan Staples, an IYG member and Ivy Tech student, and Audrey Satterbloom, IPS wellness supervisor. We were talking a little bit right before the break about how the reaction Jordan encountered when he came out in high school. Audrey, could we talk a little bit about how the schools deal with this now, what programs they've put in place to make, and I'll say, I'm not supposed to talk about my age in the radio, but there was a time, I remember, in high school when doing something like that would have been a very isolating experience. I'm assuming we're trying not to make it one now.
Yes, we're in the Indianapolis Public Schools high schools. We are encouraging each one of the schools to have a gay-straight alliance club that could be offered and be sponsored by one of the staff and then meet on a regular basis so that they can talk about issues. And as Jordan said, it's not necessarily all LGBTQ students who attend this. It would be about any one of the kids that are involved in the school. And so we will be having that pretty much at all the schools.
At every school. We are talking about growing up gay. Here on No Limits, you can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Tribbley, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Certainly.
I just wanted to put a word out. While, you know, I did grow up gay, and I've got a couple children, and I personally don't have any issues or problems, but I sure would like my kids to have a good scouting group. So we hooked up with Navigators USA, a scouting group that is inclusive. It doesn't matter that it's non-religious based. It doesn't matter what your orientation is. So I just wanted to let you know that, the Boy Scouts can, they have the right to make their own mind to do what they want to do. And but I certainly am happy to be part of the Navigators.
And how has that experience been for your children?
Well, honestly, we just started it this last month, and they're very happy about it. I've put them in a different category without anything they had a choice on. So while they've been accepted regularly through the elementary schools, we haven't had but one or two issues, you know, and sometimes children will be children, I guess. But generally, they're both very excited to know and feel that, you know, they're part of a group.
Well, thank you very much for the call.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Well, is that another way to some degree to solve this problem is to say, in effect, we'll start our own scout troops?
Yeah.
Mary Byrne.
I think that a lot of people will do that. You know, it's really too bad that the Boy Scouts don't just go ahead and get this over with.
Delayed a vote, and it's been it's sort of prolonged the misery on both sides.
Well, and to prolong it again to say, okay, we're going to vote on youth, but we're not going to vote on bring the adults along. If they just would go for it, I think that right now that they're not making anyone happy, and they're not getting any more support, and It's too bad that they don't just go for it.
And decide which side of the argument they're going to line up on, because there's really not a way to bridge the gap, it sounds like. And I should emphasize again, we invited someone from the Boy Scouts to appear on the program, and they declined the invitation. We've gotten a couple of a tweet and an email saying the same thing, that basically that the argument that a gay man or woman would be a sexual predator or a pedophile is offensive, and you know, one of the listeners goes beyond that and says offensive and ignorant. So how much of that, what's it like, because you do hear arguments that you know, almost equate homosexuality with a crime. And, you know, there were places in this country not all that many years ago in our history where it was a crime.
Right, it was.
How do you react to those arguments, Mary, as someone who deals with this all the time?
I can't say enough how harmful it is to young people to hear this. Going to church and finding out that they're sinners, that they're going to go to hell. that they need to repent or make it go away, which they can't. It's like that you're throwing them into between a rock and a hard place. And my biggest concern are young people who are invisible. You know, there's so many, many, many more young people who are either questioning or really know they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, and nobody can tell, nobody knows, but they're there listening to everything. They don't feel like they can go home and talk to their parents. These are the people, these are the young people that go out to the barn and do themselves in.
Do something awful.
Do
yeah.
something awful because they have no... They have no place to go.
And Audrey, I know you want to say something about that. I can see.
Well, I just think that people need to understand that the students that are going through this, it's not a choice. You think about it. If it was a choice, would they go through all the turmoil that they get because they're coming out? Do you think they would be the person? Would not it be easier to just grow up and have a family, 2.5 kids in a minivan, than to go with all through all the troubles that they have and the concerns and the issues because people are making fun of them and all the different things they're doing. So it's a choice. It's not a choice. It's something that they have, just like they have blonde hair or blue eyes.
And that we use the argument, I think, Mary, you were talking about how your father was left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, since I've already said, I was executive director of the ICLU, once being in a debate with Dinesh D'Souza, and it was right after the Matthew Shepard killing. And he said at the time, I don't know if his views have evolved since then, his argument was that, you know, they want to say that being gay is just like being left-handed. But we tend to forget that the etymology of the word left-handed, that's where the word sinister comes from. We thought left-handed people were evil at one point, too, that there are differences. We are talking about growing up gay here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Jan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for this, having this very important topic on today. So important to protect these kids.
Well, thank you very much. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm ironically driving to a local high school where I'm an allied health professional, and being a lifelong lesbian and growing up in southern Indiana where I heard I'm going to hell because of who I am and trying to hide it and being in that tumultuous state and not having a support group. Every day I have kids walk in to my healthcare facility, for lack of a better term, and they're searching for something. And you know, fortunately, I like to think that I can be an adult that, without addressing the issue directly, can help them. But I'm also aware, interestingly, about the Boy Scout thing, that I couldn't support them in some of their endeavors that they want. They wanted to have a specific club brought in on campus that I could have been a part of, and I can't be that person for them without discussing it. The second thing that I wanted to mention, and we like to think that we're really progressive with addressing this issue in the high schools, but the reality is, in that subtle message, a young man about 5 years ago in a Donut County high school was assaulted in cafeteria, and the assailants were only given an after-school suspension, but they were escorted by a police officer to the football game so they could play that night in their Friday night game. It's bizarre, the message that of tolerance that they say, and then something like that happened, set us back so far in protecting these kids.
Thank you very much for the call, Jan. Well, Jordan, I want to re-engage with you. Are there things that would have helped your school experience when you were, you know, resources, ways that we could, you know, the schools and other outlets could provide more support for young people who come out?
Yeah, I wish that we would have had a GSA in high school. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when I was a senior, the second semester before, you know, I was done with high school, they finally started having a GSA.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish that would have been in place already while I was attending high school there, you know, junior, sophomore, and freshman. It would have helped me tremendously.
We've gotten, I think it's a tweet from a listener named Caitlin, who says, one of your callers claimed there's no proof that most pedophiles are straight men. Could you please address this claim?
I don't have the statistics.
Okay. But there are studies out there.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, and we could go.
I should probably carry those around with me, but it's not important to me. I mean, it.
Yeah, it's specific to the incident and all of that.
Right. I think that if somebody needs those statistics to understand what's happening, I don't even know that the you can always say statistics are wrong.
And a lot of it from, Sharon, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you.
Certainly. Thank you very much for the call. What's on your mind?
I just want to say how much I appreciate Mary Byrne and the work she's done in Indianapolis for the gay community for the past 40-plus years.
Oh, Sharon, you're telling my age.
Oh, but anyway, I mean, she's provided a haven for the young people when she was a young person, and she's providing a haven now. She's a safe place to be.
Well,
and the city just needs to understand what a treasure we have in Mary Byrne and the work she does and how sincere she is about it. And what an expert she is on the subject. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you do, what you continue to do, and who you are in the community. I just think it's really important for everyone to know that this is something that is on her heart and has been there for, like I say, sorry, Mary, at least 40-plus years.
Thank you very much for the call. I think we just outed your age, among other things here, Mary. But that, it's got to feel good to have... comments like that made, because the work's got to be fairly hard, fairly demanding for you.
Sure, it's a wonderful organization, and it's normally very smooth. I mean, this license plate has really been an emotional and energy drainer for our whole organization. So I hope that gets resolved soon.
Brooke, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank
Hi.
You.
Certainly.
Well, my question is, I'm from Indianapolis, and I agree, Indiana is probably a fairly homophobic state as a whole. And I unlike some homophobic people, I have friends, I know gay people, and I don't have a problem with homosexuality. But my question is, you know, we don't want to equate pedophilia with homosexuality. And we want people who don't know any gay people to understand that it's a way in which it's how they were born,
mm-hmm.
Just like I was born heterosexual. But I find it interesting when we equate homosexuality with other things like transsexuality or the acronym for Mary's group, I think. I did join the program only about 30 minutes ago, but like the question mark. I think that muddies the water for people who are trying to understand homosexuality when we pull in some of these other groups. And those groups don't get even near as much explanation as the attention that, you know, in comparison gets put with homosexuality. And I'm just wondering why, it's kind of like when I went to the hospital to have a baby, why are children and mothers lumped in one group? You know, I'm a woman. You know, why are the homosexuals getting corralled in with these other groups? And I just think I personally think it doesn't do justice for their cause. And maybe people on the panel and can comment on that, and I'll listen on the radio.
Thank you very much for the call, Brooke. We've also gotten another question from a listener named Scott by email that's similar, who said, you know, one guest just said he wasn't taught to be gay. You either are or you aren't. But doesn't bisexual just mean you like both men and women? To me, it seems like homosexuality isn't a binary choice, but it is more a matter of sexual preference on a scale. Can you be a little gay? Am I correct in my understanding that homosexuality is just a level of degree of sexual preference?
It's not a preference.
Mm-hmm.
It's an orientation.
Okay. And I'm reading the question here. I guess where this is going is, and that to some degree is, I think, where Brooke was going with the question too, which is, there people get somewhat confused when we talk about, you know, bisexual, transgendered, some of the other things where there has to be conscious act or conscious decisions made. How do you address those people? And I'll let anyone who wants to take this.
Well,
silence is not good on a radio,
no,
folks.
No. Look around. I think that the common thread is maybe misinformation about all of these groups. And I think that I would agree with the email or whatever that talked about the continuum. I think that people do fall on a continuum. And I think that's even what Kinsey said years and years and years ago. But transgender come into the... I've always felt that transgender were the warriors. They're the people that are out on the front line, very visible, who take a big hit. Now, and again, your gender doesn't have anything to do with your sexual orientation. It's a little confusing to try to figure how gender relates to sexual orientation if you're going to change your gender, blah blah blah.
How much of this is just that, you know, to some degree as a society we're scared of our own sexuality?
Ooh.
I think
Audrey.
I think that it comes back down to the tolerance and everyone just letting everyone do what they want. As long as another person is not harming you, then why put your nose in their business? And for whatever their feelings are. And this is something that the schools are teaching from a young age. And this is something that it's confusing to some people. But if they have feelings or in a certain way, then they should be allowed to do that as long as they're not harming anybody else and it's not illegal.
We have been talking today about growing up gay here on No Limits. My guests have been Mary Byrne, Executive Director of Indiana Youth Group. Mary, thank you for being
with us.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Oh, certainly. Jordan Staples, who's an IYG member and an Ivy Tech student. Jordan, thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
And Audrey Satterbloom, who is an IPS wellness supervisor. Audrey, thank you for being here with us.
It's been a pleasure.
I will not be here on Thursday, but my colleague Leslie Weidenbender will be in to talk about This Old House Coming to Indianapolis. Everyone, please be nice to Leslie when she's here in this chair. I will be back next week. Until then, thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.